Hello, I'm here to talk to you about a couple of things. One is the definition of open access, what it is, and then we'll also have a quick look at open access business models. So let's first look at what open access actually is. In its simplest form, open access is making scholarly content available openly, free of charge across the internet. However, within that fairly simple definition, you'll actually find there are a number of quite important subtleties that you need to be aware of. So the first one, as I say to people when we explain this, is open access can actually mean one of two things. The first thing is what I term the formal public definition of open access. If you Google the Budapest Open Access Initiative, BOAI, you'll find that a number of academics got together in the early noughties and coined a formal definition of open access. And that essentially says that open access means that research articles must be made available both free of charge to read and also free of reuse restrictions on the internet. The only reuse restriction allowed is that you must preserve attribution of the work, so preserve the authorship of the original work. But those two elements, free of charge to read and free of charge to reuse, really form the core of that formal definition of open access. And that's quite important because that definition is used by a lot of the funding bodies that are promoting open access. So, for example, in Europe, there's a group of funders, Coalition S, you might have heard Planis as well. They're pushing for that definition. Or the UK's Wellcome Trust, the Wellcome have been quite a thought leader and first mover in this space. Or in the US, you might have, for example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They'll tend to look at that definition. Now, the second one is a slightly looser one, which I might term public access, and that's where content must be made available free of charge to read, but there's nothing said about the reuse restrictions. It can be quite restricted in its reuse. So that second definition is free of charge to read only. And I tend to refer to that as public access after the US federal funding agency's policies on this, as manifested through the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the OSTP in the US. So when you hear the definition open access, it's just worthwhile asking yourself exactly which one of those two the person using that definition might be referring to, because you will hear that one term used to refer to both definitions. So that's basically what it is. Now let's unpack a little bit more detail around this. Firstly, open access is technically the property of a paper or an article. That's very much how the definitions are framed. But of course, as publishers, we group papers together in things called journals, and that's what we publish. So when you look at journals, you may find journals referred to as subscription journals. So they are traditional journals where people will have to typically pay, or an institution may pay for access to read the content. The content typically will sit behind some sort of paywall. Or in the open access world, you might have a fully open access journal when the entirety of the journal is published under an open access model. And you'll sometimes hear those fully open journals referred to as gold open access journals. I tend to use fully open access just because it's more self-explanatory to me. There are then a third type of journal called hybrid journals, which mix both models. And in those journals, essentially, an author can decide whether a particular paper will be published via a subscription route, in which case it will sit there with the subscription content, or whether the paper will be published via the open access route in the journal. And the journal will handle both and put some of its content behind the paywall, make the rest of its content available openly. One other thing I'd like to cover whilst we're looking at definitions is just the notion of licenses and what this reusability concept actually means. And you'll come across a small group of licenses that has become the ipso facto standard for all this. They've been put out by an organization called Creative Commons. So you'll come across Creative Commons licenses. And they're just standard licenses that most people now will use in the open access world. And there's different levels of license that add slightly more restrictions or fewer restrictions on reuse. So typically the licenses are referred to by a code, CC for Creative Commons, and then CC BY or CC BY. That's the most common or garden open access license, and it allows for free reuse apart from maintaining attribution to the original author, the BY. But you can then layer things on top of that. So a CC BY NC license might simply add a restriction of you can only reuse the article for non-commercial NC purposes, and so on. There are about half a dozen or so Creative Commons licenses. I won't talk you through them here, but you can go to the creativecommons.org website and there's a very good explanation there. I will point out one other though, so-called CC0 is basically no restrictions at all. That's typically used for data or perhaps supporting materials around papers. So that's our definitions of open access. Now let's take a quick look at the business models behind them. Now remember, of course, publishing costs money. It requires resources and time and effort. So how do we cover those costs and maybe make a little bit of surplus or a little bit of profit margin under an open access model? The subscription model is pretty easy. We levy subscriptions, and typically publishers will sell those subscriptions to academic libraries, and the libraries in turn will arrange access for students or researchers and so forth on their campus, and that's how the money flows. There is a payment to read the article. The open access side of things, we simply move the toll booth, if you will, and we typically charge people some sort of fee to cover the cost of publication. And there are in actual fact two main models that are used in the open access world. The first one is we levy a one-off fee per paper. That fee is typically referred to as an article processing charge or maybe an article publication charge or APC. The author corresponding submitting the paper is typically held responsible for arranging the payment of that fee, although it is worth noting that it's very rarely the author that actually pays. Typically, they'll pass an invoice or some sort of payment mechanism onto the funder of their research or maybe onto their institution. But the notion is that the author is responsible for organising payment. So that's what might be termed the sort of the gold or paid for open access model. The other business model for open access is what's known as the green route. And this is a little bit more complicated, but essentially what it says is the author is entitled to deposit a copy of their article into a repository, into an online storage that will typically be a university's collection of papers or maybe a subject repository, such as the archive in physics, arxiv.org in physics. But they can only deposit that paper after a delay, an embargo period. Typically, it will be 6 to 12 months for the sciences, or maybe 12 to 24 months delay for arts and humanities. And the point of that delay is that in the meantime, publishers publishing that article could publish it under their normal subscription models. And so in that way, the publisher can get value for the article and cover its costs, but the article is then made open access in due course. So we've got a couple of business models there. And then those sort of roll up. So you may come across terms such as diamond or platinum open access. And typically these means sponsored models whereby a journal might be fully open, but an institute or an institution or a society might be covering the publishing costs in full. And so the author doesn't have to worry about arranging any fees. It's a fully sponsored model. Hybrid journals, of course, we mentioned earlier, because they will mix their models. And finally, it's worth noting that although we talk about per paper fees, as open access has taken off, and if you think about open access papers being published across multiple journals from the same publisher, big institutions that may have a combination of a lot of publishing they do and payments for open access, as well as reading, we're finding the emergence of sort of mixed business models and joint business models, where increasingly an institution or a funder might pay a flat or bulk fee to a publisher, and that covers a whole number of papers and publication charges up until typically some sort of cap. And so it's still a paid publishing model, but we're not working anymore at the individual per article level, but we might be looking at bundles or sort of bulk subscriptions. One final thing that's very, very important, a bit of a myth that has grown up around business models and it's worth dispelling now. When authors pay or their funders pay open access publishing fees, those fees are very separate from the editorial decision-making process. That's very important. This is not some sort of vanity publishing model where people are paying to publish. the decision as to whether or not a paper is accepted or rejected, that continues to be a wholly independent editorial decision. Certainly any publisher or journal with even halfway decent reputation will follow that. And it's usually only after the point of acceptance that payment will then be discussed. So there is no mixing of church and state as it is, and payments are always kept separate from editorial decisions. So there we go. That's a very quick roundup of open access definitions. We've looked at the notion of free to read and free to reuse, and how there can be a mixed meaning there. We've looked at fully open journals, subscription journals, and mixed models, so-called hybrid journals. And then we also looked at the sort of business models and payments behind them. So the notion of APCs, paying per article, or the green model, the embargo and repository route, and also finish with those important notions of keeping payments and editorial decision-making separate. Thank you very much for your attention, and I hope you find this useful.